Welcome or welcome back to the So Much Life and Me podcast. Hi, what's poppin', baby? So unexpectedly, I took a 3.5 month hiatus for no particular reason other than lack of motivation and lack of structure in my life. But you know what? We're back and better than ever. And today we have a special guest, Mr. Petty Eddie, who's been on multiple episodes of the So Much Life and Me podcast. And it's actually just passed his birthday about a week and a half ago-ish. So happy belated, Mr. Hattie. How was it? How was the birthday?
It was good. Thank you so much. First of all, thank you so much. You're always hyping me up. I appreciate it. I love the energy. It was a good birthday. You know, Libra gang rules the world. So, I mean, we need a lot of us out here. So, I appreciate it.
All right. Whatever. But I'm happy that you had a great birthday, and I'm really excited to have you on the show today. But before we start, we're gonna add a cute little new segment where we're talking about what we're drinking, because if you watch any type of like news anchor show or podcast, they're always drinking something, and I'm always wondering what's in their cups. So what are you drinking today?
Today we have lemonade, simply lemonade.
Classic. And like I'm drinking some type of beer. I don't even know. Anyways, it is what it is. And today is episode 4 of season 3, and you know my little numerology bit. The number 4 symbolizes the number of protection, so the universe is constantly dropping hints to protect you and conserve your energy, and you just need to be more reflective and pick up on those things. And now we're gonna get into some things. And actually, another cute little fun fashion fresh fluid funky thing is that your man's over here has no idea what we're talking about.
And yeah, which is like, so yeah, she's like, oh, let's do this podcast. I'm like, yeah, let's do this podcast. What ideas do you have? I have 2 ideas. Let's do rock, paper, scissors, but you can't know any of them. What?
Yeah, so he actually has no idea.
So I have to pick.
I won, by the way.
That
I won.
I didn't know in something. Anyways.
So, are you ready to know what the topic is of discussion? Mm-hmm. So, I figured today we could talk about how our expression changes with highs and lows. So, we're going to talk about everything from how we create our art and how that changes when we're going through highs, lows, sads, happy, success, lack of motivation, etc., as well as how we communicate with our peers, the type of company that we keep when we're feeling good, when we're feeling less than ourselves, and then our interests that we gravitate towards during those times. So I guess we'll start on a high and we'll discuss how we navigate through the world when we're feeling good. If anybody knows Eddie in real life, he's super extroverted. He's super happy in the way that he expresses himself to the world. And unless you know him, you won't really catch him slipping or giving you bad energy. Maybe intense, but not really like sad or anything like that. So, and as a photographer and somebody who really enjoys art, how do you think that your art changes when you have really good times and when you're going through the best of times?
When I'm going through the best of times, I feel like there's more structure to begin with. I'm not someone that hates, I mean, that's usually late to things. I like I like being on time, you know, like either being early on time or like being right on time. So if I have to go somewhere 30 minutes before, if the train comes, you know, I gotta be there at like 5:15. I mean, if it has to leave at 5:15, then I'm there at 5, you know, like things like that. But so in the sense of that, like everything is always like right where I need to be, like when everything is going right, you know, like, and my art reflects that in a sense, like even like colors compared to like black and white. Like there's periods of time where like I'll do only black and white pictures and I'll do only color pictures in a period of time. And thinking back on it, I've noticed that like it's been during times where like I'm super excited, where it's just like, all right, cool, like let's do things outside, elegant pictures, and you know what I mean. But like when things are not as like upwards, then it's more so like, all right, let's go to this grave and, you know what I mean, and shoot this, or like darker stuff, or like it might be like a girl looking out of a window, but like it's more so like not intentionally me telling her like this is like, you know what I mean, like my brain is like just processing things like that, you know what I mean? I don't know how to explain that, but
so you're saying, correct me if I'm wrong, that when you feel like you're in a better state of mind and you have more mental peace, not only is your art more organized and your thoughts are more organized, but also the subject matter is not as heavy because it reflects how you feel.
Yeah, and also too, like you mentioned too, like I'm mostly like in a good vibe, but I have moments of being intense. And when things are like, I'm having stressful moments, that comes out more, you know what I mean? Or even if it's just like for a moment of like, if something happened, right? And it was just like for a second, okay, cool, that might have got me angry. If I was like in a more better state, I could have brushed it off a little bit. And I've noticed that a lot, because I'll, in a sense, F up. And then be, in a sense, like, too intense. And then realize it right after. And then be like, oh, shoot, I'm sorry. Or apologize to that person or whomever that is. And then I've noticed that it's because I, like, it's everything around me. I'm trying to, like, carry everything, in a sense. Like, you know?
So do you think that when you're in a better state of mind or you have more mental peace, do you think you're more, less, or equally as concerned with how your art impacts other people? When you're in a good state of mind and you're in a good place.
To be honest with you, the impact towards others, I, I don't care in a sense. Like, I love my art because, like, this is what I want to do, how I feel, when I feel it, I put it, you know what I mean? I don't think about, like, I do think about, like, yo, I hope they like it, or I hope, like, when I put something out, someone likes it. But I'm gonna do it regardless, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, not in a sense that it would, like, inhibit you from putting out something into the world that you created, because I think no matter what, even if it's not your best work, you're still something you built, like, you still produced it. And I think there's that drive from creative people just to produce things. And even if it's not your best work, maybe you feel a little bit defeated, maybe you feel just,
In a sense, do you feel as though, like, in a sense, maybe I do care, because, like, I never want to put anything out there that I don't think is, like, super, like, I think to me it's super dope, or, like, someone would think it's super dope, you know?
Yeah, I think
but, like, half-assed, you know, in a sense?
I think for me, like, it's kind of equal, in a sense, because when I'm feeling good and I'm producing things, I just feel so passionately about it, and it doesn't really matter to me how well it's received to other people. I mean, if it came across as offensive, I think that's sort of like an exception. But even if other people don't believe in it to the same extent that I do, I mean, that's my brainchild, you know what I mean? So obviously I care more than people just stumbling across it. I can't imagine that it would mean the same thing to other people that it means to me. But when I'm sad, I kind of feel like I'm doing this for me as like a healing thing. Versus when I create when I'm happy, it's more so just I have something in my brain that I want to put out into the world. You know, but what? When I'm more sad, I feel like it's a healing thing, and I need to do almost like a meditation, or almost just something to do to take my mind off of whatever I'm.
You know going. What? I don't use photography as the thing for me for that.
No.
No.
What do you like, use
for like that? Like. I try to make photography as, like, I love art, and I love it, and I love what I see behind the camera. And the things that, like, trigger me and that helps me get through things or whatever, it's mostly, like, writing and communicating, like, honestly. Yeah.
For me, I can see that, though, because you are a good communicator and you're really social. But for somebody who's on the other side of that spectrum, I would say I'm pretty introverted, like pretty far on the other side of the spectrum. And for me, like, there's only so many things that I could say in words to people, because even that communication, even though it's important, it still sometimes can be overwhelming. And I feel like I need to organize my thoughts before I can really have a productive conversation about what's going on and be able to articulate myself in an appropriate way. So to do that, I need to focus, like, totally focus on something. And if you've ever been around me when I'm doing something, I don't really talk much, and I just stay really focused from doing makeup to painting. I will do paintings all in one sitting. Like, I won't get up. I will just do it. Even if it takes, like, 10 hours, 12 hours, it doesn't really matter. I won't break from it. And then once I'm done with it, I feel better, because for that whole time, I wasn't thinking about what I was doing, because I'm putting 100% of my focus into what I'm creating. And even if it's not my favorite thing that I've ever created or painted, or, you know, my favorite makeup I ever did, or whatever it is that I'm making.
In a sense, even though that's therapeutic, but do you feel as though that, like, that blocks you from, like, in a sense, processing what you're going through?
No.
Okay.
Because I feel like when I do that, I can be in a more calm, rational state to address what I need to address. I'm not using it as a distraction, but more so as, like, an equalizer. That if I don't take time to calm myself and wait out, like, the intense emotions that I feel initially, then I feel like it's gonna be just chaos when I address it, because I have a sharp tongue, that's not news to anybody, but I feel like if I can take that energy and that intensity and channel it to something else, you only have so much energy. So when I do have the energy to communicate with somebody else about what's going on, it's in a more concise and organized way that's more appropriate and that's more productive, because I don't have the energy to just pop off, you know.
Okay, question for you. Do you catch the patterns of, like, when your art or when anything is going from, like, up to, in a sense of, downward?
As in, it's not good, or it's like dark in subject matter.
Yeah, dark in subject matter. Like, do you catch those patterns?
I think between any type of art that I'm doing, the focus is the person, and it's not always me. I mean, when I'm doing makeup, obviously that's very focused on someone's face. Whether you're trying to make them look pretty, make them look like somebody else, make them look like something else, it doesn't really matter. You're still focusing on a person's face. You have to look at that person, and you have to really analyze their features and take that into account. My favorite thing to create art-wise, whether it's drawing, painting, whatever, are people. I always love to draw people's faces. There's something about looking at somebody's face and making your perception of them come to life, and something that to me is really powerful, because we all see ourselves differently than how other people see us. So I think it's kind of like a window into somebody else's soul to be able to see how they see you.
Yeah.
So I don't think that there's much of a difference. I think the only difference is I create more when I'm sad, or when I'm struggling, or when I'm stressed, because again, there's a function to it.
But art is a good thing, right? So why do you feel that I'm sorry. Why do you feel that when it's more of a, like, great energy around, why aren't you creating as much?
Because I'm living.
Yeah, but also too, that could be those things you use to create, in a sense.
That's true, but at the same time.
Or for most. But, like, I know a lot of things, a lot of powerful things come out of, like, sadness and anger and, you know how, like old school, I don't know, like, how everyone is, but, like, they'll tell you Mary J. Blige, when she's hurt, when her album coming, you know what I mean? It's gonna be fire, you know? But things like that. But, like, why can it be like, all right, I'm in love, woo! All right, you know what I'm saying? Like, because that type of energy, like, and then expressing it like that and, like, throughout your art, or, you know?
I think,
even though you're living with the person, and those memories, excuse me, I don't know why I have so many hiccups today. I'm so sorry, everyone. But living in everything, right? Those little memories do count. Like, for example, with pictures, right? We take pictures, we look at them far back. Like, we look at our yearbooks that we took in high school, like, however many years ago. You know, we may look, you know? So those memories, you remember, like, oh, shoot, I was doing this at that time. Or, like, I was, you know? Or, like, you take your wedding pictures or whatever. Like, a few years from now, you look at them and you show your grandkids. You know, those little memories matter. So I feel like, in a sense, that's kind of art, too.
Yeah, but so, it's for, I mean, it's different for everybody. I think a lot of people's, like you said, best work comes from pain and sadness and sorrow and all these different type of not traditionally positive emotions, because I think I'm not alone when it comes to using art as a healing mechanism. With that being said, I'm the type of person where my memories are so strong that I don't need to create art to remember it. But when I'm sad, I want to create something prettier than how I remember.
Well said.
So, even if it's different, I can understand wanting to remember the highs and, like, trying to capture it in some way. I think it's, photography is a good medium for that because, in a sense, it's instantaneous, right? You could conceptualize it, but it doesn't usually take as long. I'm not talking about the editing process or anything like that, but just the act of taking the photo and staging it and or not staging it, I don't think it necessarily takes as long as, you know, sculpting or painting.
You are correct. It depends on the person, you know, like, because there could be other things. For example, people who travel and, like, either get tattoos or get pins on a wall, or, you know what I mean, for every places they've been, they have something, you know. There's those types of things, or people that use other ways to, you know, express that. So I feel like you are correct. It all depends on, like, what comes out of that for the person, or what they get out of it, I mean.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's good also, too, to have people from both sides of the spectrum. And it's not so much to convince each other that, you know, if you're happy, you should be creating more. If you're sad, you should be creating more so that you can heal or that you can process whatever. You know, it's never about that. It's just there's difference of perspective. And I think that we all grow and we become better people from not going into an echo chamber and talking to people whose ideas are different than us.
And mostly, like, when I'm also too, like, it's mostly procrastination, honestly, for me. Because I get in the habit of, like, all right, cool, a little bit lazy, or, like, I'm going to do this in a few, or, like, I'll do it later. All right, I have to do this edit. All right, cool. You know? Like, that type of energy. Mm-hmm. So, and procrastination becomes a thing, you know, and putting things to the side and not doing things, you know? Like.
But, again, I think that's subjective because, I mean, no, it's not obvious, for me. Yeah, no, but I'm still going to make my point, though, man. I mean, this podcast is not the best reflection of it because I do take unintended hiatuses, but all other things included, I think that my motivation to create is stronger and more structured. Like, if I tell myself, you know what, I need to take time to do something or make something or produce something that I feel like is helpful for me to clear my mind. So I'm going to devote X amount of time a week to make sure that I do that. And sometimes it's not always the same thing. I mean, it's not always writing. It's not always thinking of ideas for the podcast. It's not always, you know, taking time to do my makeup just to create something. It's not always painting. It's not always drawing. But it's always something. It's always some form of media that I'm utilizing to structure my week, because if you have a high stress job, if you are just a stressed young person trying to figure your shit out, if you just have things going on that you feel like you can't tap into in that moment unless you just have some sort of release, I think, you know, it's good to structure that and give it the same level of priority as everything else.
Also, too, like, there's a couple of things to that, too. How many people have that, I don't want to say skill, or, like, have that urge to use art as, like, a way to whatever, or even how many people have the time based on their stress level or what's going on in their life that has the time to even be that expressive?
2 points. I think a lot of that comes from not so much the urge, but the necessity. It's kind of like there's 2 types of people. There are people who, when they're tired, their body shuts down and they need to sleep. And then there's people who will power through for one reason or another and they'll go without. So it's the same thing. There's people who will say, I need to do this as an act of self-preservation. And then there's other people who are like, I can't necessarily budget out time for this. There's other things that are higher priority, and maybe they're right. Maybe, you know, doing banking or going to class or, you know, whatever the case may be, that may be more important realistically than creating something. But long term, can you afford to make those excuses to not take time for you? And, you know, if art is therapeutic, absolutely, there's people out there who don't think it's therapeutic at all. There's people who, the idea of creating something is stressful, maybe because they're not good at it. That's not me being rude. It's just that people don't feel that they're confident, they don't want to do it, which is fair.
Which is fair, yeah. But also, too, like, that type of mentality, I feel like, affects everything. You know, like, it may affect you, just your daily life and how you do things, you know, because even like you said, like, the confidence to do something, like, confidence takes you a long way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the will to want to do something or feeling like you're able to do it, you know, even though, like, you're healthier, you might be, like, super healthy, but, like, you feel like you can't run a mile, you know what I mean? But, like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, but just, like, all right, cool. Like, I'm going to get up one day and, like, let me walk it and let me try it. Let me, you know, that type of mentality is, I feel like it's, that's what, like, most have to work on. Us as well, like, just staying focused and staying, like, on top of, like, even me, like I said, procrastinating and being like, yo, you got this. The confidence of, like, all right, cool. You're going to do this. You're going to not put this behind you. And, like, and also, too, honestly, for me, I've noticed that when I'm on top of things, it makes me feel good, too. Yeah. I even talk about that, too. Like, when I'm on top of things, when I feel like I'm able to execute things a certain way or being there for other people a certain way. Because also, too, like, even, like, we've talked about before, like, I always feel like I'm the person that's there for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, sometimes being there for a lot of people, that energy that I'm getting from others and whatever I'm helping out with, me and my own self, if I'm not in the right stage of things, certain things may bother me a certain way. Or I may, how I react to them or help them, you know what I mean? Or I may get frustrated helping them when it's kind of like, yo, I have to be honest with myself. But it's kind of like, why are you getting frustrated when you're here to help? You know, but human nature and all that stuff, but, like, the space of where you are with certain things too, how you're dealing with certain things in your life too, you know, all those stuff come into play and come together and affecting and everything that you may be doing, you know, so.
But I think that's part of it, is just instead of looking at as just another task to do, something mundane to fit into your busy schedule, think of it as an act of self-love, that you do this so that you can be a better version of yourself and a more productive version of yourself.
Yeah.
But with that being said, I think that we should discuss how our communication varies when we're going through highs and lows. When you're feeling the best, how do you feel like you communicate with people that you care about, people you don't particularly care about, just everybody?
I've noticed recently, like, I've been working on not doing the, and then, oh shit, oh shoot.
And damage control.
And then be like, oh man, let me apologize. You know, in a sense. And I'm not even a angry person, as you said, like, I'm a very, but there's certain moments, certain stuff, certain people may say. Also, too, like, I value respect very much so, and that plays a part into it, because certain stuff, like, I could just let slide and be like, all right, cool, like, whatever, you know what I'm saying, and step back a little bit, or maybe laugh at it, or whatever, but depending on the space that I am, it's kind of like, what are you doing, you know, like, I have
you
to, like,
kind of, less patience to
deal. Yeah, less patience to deal with some BS, and be like, yo, like, we gotta be adult about this, or whatever the case is, you know, and sometimes, like, even though I'm being super honest and super forward or whatever, no matter what, there's certain ways to approach things, and there's certain ways to talk to people and to verbalize certain things, and the aggression for certain people, they may not handle it really well, you know? People deal with things or receive things different ways, you know? How you say things matter as much as what you're saying, I feel like. It might, you know, not everyone may agree, but for me, I'm very, 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 like, all right, on my, like, all right, cool. Mm-mm. Like, you know, like, when I'm more so, like, and I've noticed that, but I've tried to work on that really, really, like, I've really tried to work on that because, like, sometimes I'm, like, honestly, no matter what, I cannot allow anything that's going on with me to affect others, in a sense, you know? I have to be kind of considerate in a bit, you know? Like, just because someone's, like, at work did some, like, for example, like, something may be happening at work, right? And then someone FaceTime me and start talking about, like, home or something. And then, you know what I mean? And I was like, bro, why didn't you handle that? Why are you calling me to work? Blah, blah, blah. You know, it could be something like that when it could have just been like, all right, cool. All right, let's handle this. Like, you know, like, and I've tried to, like, really not let, like, and I've known this because, like, I was already hot and I was already in such a space. And, like, that is just adding on to it. And I'm just like, oh, my God, really? Come on. Like, I'm already at work dealing with this. And, you know, so I've been doing my best to, like, do a better job at communicating with people and not letting, like, my issues or whatever that's going on with me during the time of day, like, affect them. Because I feel like you are, sometimes I feel like we do say we can't help how we react. But we, in a sense, are in control of our reactions. You know what I mean? Because, like, if, like, if you go outside, like, in a sense, like, for example, you go outside, you step on somebody's shoes, right? And you like, disrespectfully, whatever they do after that, like, you should expect, you know what I mean? Like, in a sense of, like, you cause that, so however they react, you should be able to take that, you know what I'm saying? And that's the only way I feel like that whole, like, reaction thing and how you control it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, not in the sense how you control it, or, like, whatever happens, happens, you know? So I feel like that's the only instance where that could fly, but, like, in other aspect, you know, not using, like, whatever is going on in your day or whatever. I don't know if that makes sense, if I'm blind.
No, it does. No. It's kind of like, you know, you go somewhere and somebody gives you poor customer service. And you're like, what's wrong with them? What happened to them? Why do they have such an attitude? If you're going to be rude, you shouldn't be working here, type of thing.
Yeah.
And that's really dismissive because, in a sense, you know, maybe they were out of pocket, but everyone has bad days. And maybe we can control how we react to things, but we can't control our feelings. And, you know, I'm not the poster child for acting
perfect,
the most professional and the most composed and the most collected when I'm upset or stressed about something. That definitely is evident. And then it usually forces me to take some time to handle it. You know, other people, maybe they're more resilient in that way. But at least if you can recognize if you're one of those people that's affected by that type of stuff and you can take some time for you not to have your bad energy affect other people that you come in contact with. For myself, if I'm going through hard times, my communication is pretty limited. I usually kind of like disengage. And if I am forced to have some type of communication, which I don't think I'm mentally prepared for, I kind of just, it's like I'm not even there. Yeah. And I'm not trying to ignore that person. It's just like, I can't necessarily receive what you're saying right now. And it's not really productive, that conversation. It either needs to be repeated because I didn't really hear you, or, you know, I just need to just do better to just handle whatever prompted the conversation in the first place.
Yeah, but it's like communication is something that no matter what, like, it's something we will continue to work on, like, daily for everyone, you know what I mean? Or if you choose to, in a sense, to work on it, because at different points of different times, you know, there's different way to communicate different things, and then being able to know how, being able to understand certain cues or understand certain, like, you know, how to move a certain way is truly important. Because for me, like, I'm super forward, and I'm super, like, if something is bothering me, like, no matter if, like, good mood, bad mood, whatever, like, if something happens or if I need to speak up on something, like, whether if, like, like, I was crying before, like, exaggeration. Or, like, if I was, like, imagine, like, it was my birthday, it was partying, but then, like, I saw something crazy happen. You know what I mean? No matter what, like, I have to speak up, like, when I feel like I need to speak up or when I feel like something is bothering me. But in the same token, how I approach that is very important. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And also to understand, like, who I need to talk to at certain times matter too with certain things, you know, and approaching certain situations.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I think for myself, when things are good, I'm more inclined to communicate. Even as somebody who is the type of person where I may have a lot of opinions, but I don't necessarily feel the need to, like, explore that with other people. Yeah. I don't really need to have the conversation until I feel like it's appropriate. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, you can have your opinions about that type of communication, and just people who are more reserved. But I can respect people who are more forward, just in general, universally forward, not just selectively forward with people that they know can take their real truth.
Yeah.
Which there's a difference, because in a sense, I feel like I can be like you sometimes and be really forward and just say things how I think them and how they come out. But
I feel like you're more like that with people you're comfortable with.
Yeah, that's my point, though. Because, no, don't be sorry. It's just, like, when I don't feel somebody is going to understand my my point.
No need even to waste your time.
Yeah.
Or get into some, you know, in a sense.
It's just, like, in a sense, I guess you could call that fake or whatever, but it's just like I don't have the energy to deal with people who are gonna think the worst of my perspective or my opinions or how I'm expressing myself. I just feel like that's a waste of time.
Yeah.
Versus somebody who I know will understand.
There's two things within that. I feel like there's the I'm not really listening. I hear you, but I'm not really listening and processing what you're saying. And there's the, I'm not ready to receive it.
Yeah.
There's those two, then that makes that situation hard to approach, like, someone about anything, or any with anything, you know, with any situation. Like,
if the
person may not be able to, like, process that, like, hey, what she's saying to me may not be, like, her attacking me, or constructive criticism in a sense, like, hey, she's communicating that, like, hey, I may need to work on this, or, like, what you did was, like, that wasn't the right way to handle that, or, like, you know, but depending on the situation, the person, it may not be, what do you mean, or what, like, maybe too offended by that, you know, so approaching things the right way.
I think it's really, it feels really good to me, more than even being loved is being understood, mm-hmm. and in my ideal world, which is not realistic. I don't ever want to have to explain myself. I want somebody to just understand.
Right.
And that's not realistic, because that gets me out of having to communicate and advocate for myself. But if I'm being honest, that's how I want things to be. But I don't want to have to explain. I don't want to have to get into it.
But you know what, though? I feel like in some ways, there's ways to balance that, because I feel like if you communicate enough, you can have that. I mean, not enough. If you communicate well enough, you can have that, because if you communicate well enough to someone, they'll be able to know that in a certain situation that you don't need to speak up for them to know that, like, oh, okay, Hannah's thinking this, or Hannah is a little bit, would be a little bit anxious right now, or Hannah would, you know what I mean?
So I think a lot of that too is also nonverbal communication, which mm-hmm. is different for people who are introverted and people who are extroverted. It's very different, because people who are extroverted, they don't have to depend on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And they tend to be better communicators, not always, but tend to be, you're more comfortable communicating verbally than people who are introverted. Yeah. But there's a lot between the lines yeah. that you can pick up on.
But you know what, though? But like you said, though, to go back to the whole beginning, like the ups and the highs and the lows of, like, throughout life and stuff, like, but I try to not let, like, if things are going perfect in my life, right, like, you wouldn't know, like you said, and if they're going bad, you wouldn't know, you know, like, only the people that truly matter, that, like I said before, like, writing and talking to certain people or what really gets me through things.
I think that's an ideal, though. That's how it should be. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it shouldn't be that easy for people to read you.
Yeah, it can't. Like, you, like, and like I said, besides the aggression factor of, like, me being ready to bark at someone right away rather than, like, all right, cool, brush this off a little bit. Besides that aspect, you know, like, I feel like you wouldn't know unless, like, you know me, that, like, I'm struggling with something. Because, like, I really, truly believe in confidence. And I've worked throughout my whole life to really be at a place where I feel comfortable with myself. So, also, to part of it, too, I was reflecting the other day. I feel like part of it, too, like, is maybe fear of losing that aspect of my confidence. So no matter what, I do my best to always, like, all right, I want to feel good about things. I want to feel like there's hope for things. And I want to feel like, yo, if I put in the work, no matter what's going on, it's going to, like, be better, you know, mm-hmm. in a sense. Or, like, I'm going to come out of it. Yeah. Or it's going to pay off. Or, like, you know, so I feel like my work ethic has gotten better because of my confidence. And in a sense, like, I put both of them together because I feel confident, I want to go harder. And even when the things are going wrong, in my mind, I'm like, all right, cool. If I'm confident, if I'm keeping this energy, no matter what's going on, like, all right, cool, give me some time. I may, like, okay, cool, stress about it for a little bit. But I know, like, if I keep working or if I keep communicating, like, things will get, you know what I mean? And also, too, the right support system. Like I said, like, talking to certain people really helps because, like,
yeah,
you know, so.
Definitely. I guess now we can discuss how highs and lows and good times and bad times affects the type of company that we keep. I'll be the first to admit that while there's definitely a tight circle that I keep around me, when I'm in a good headspace and I'm less stressed out and I'm have more peace, I'm more willing to do things out of my comfort zone. And I'm more willing to have new experiences that I wouldn't necessarily be willing to do when I'm more stressed. Because when I'm stressed or when I'm frustrated or when I'm upset or when I'm sad or whatever, I just want to do things that make me feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. That make me feel like I can, you know, hold my head up high and feel comforted enough to handle it. I don't want to be overwhelmed by even more things, even more experiences. Because you can be overwhelmed in a positive way, but I don't really want to take that on if I'm, you know, I feel like I'm underwater already. Like, for me, if I'm really stressed or I'm angry or I'm upset, part of me wants to, like, brew in it, which is a little bit messed up, but I do. There is a part of me that wants to stay isolated, and, you know, at the same time, I want people around me, again, who understand, and I don't want to have to explain, yeah. And I want to do things that feel familiar and comfortable until I get that confidence back. And sometimes it's just a day, and then I wake up the next morning and I feel refreshed. I feel like I reset. Yeah. Sometimes it takes longer than that, but sometimes it's just that simple thing, like, yeah, removing even the good stress from you to get your shit back together. I don't know if this is a thing that a lot of people experience, but I know I've talked about it with my girlfriends and stuff. Like, you go to sleep one night, you're annoyed that, like, your dude is being a jerk, or that you got into a fight with your other friend, or your coworker is pissing you off, or whatever it is. Like, the house isn't clean, whatever. And you go to sleep, maybe you're mad, maybe you're trying to let it go, whatever. And then you wake up the next morning and your skin's clear. You know, the auto debit kicked in, like, you know, like, you wake up, it's the weekend, and you start to feel, like, better about yourself. You start to feel like you're in a state of equilibrium. You start to, I don't know.
Can I pause you 1 second?
Yeah.
So, do you feel like automatically throughout the week, Monday to Friday, your mood is always different compared to, like, when Friday hits to Sunday? Automatically, do you feel like, have you noticed, like, a pattern of, like, you feel like throughout your life that your weeks have been different from your weekends?
It really depends. It depends what time of my life I'm talking about. Okay. Like, when I was in college, I actually found the weekends to be stressful because that's when I had a 100% deal with my personal life. And I had some stuff going on that I'm not going to get into, but, you know, it wasn't as structured and there was time to deal with all of my bullshit that I had going on.
Right.
Versus when I was in school and when I was working, there was no time for that. I didn't have time to argue. I didn't have time to deal with everything that was stressing me out because there's not enough time in a day. I don't have enough energy for right. that. But, you know, now it's different. Like, work is stressful. Sometimes it's good stress. Sometimes it's bad stress. But I guess just day-to-day is different in a sense. Even though it seems like it wouldn't be, the more you grow into adulthood, the more structured people's lives tend to get. I feel like it's different because now my time feels more like my own. And it's more up to me. And there's more flexibility. So I think there's more variation, which can be good or bad. I mean, some people like the regimented schedule and they like knowing, you know, Monday is going to be terrible, but Friday it's lit, you know, but
yo, the whole thing about like people talk about Mondays being, listen, today was popping.
Yeah. That's how I feel about Mondays. I'm like, done by 4.
Yeah. And like, that's another thing too. Like, Mondays are my earliest days that I get off of work after I just had a Sunday. You know what I mean? Like, man, I'm chilling because I know, like, by the time, like, okay, I go to work at 7, I'm done at 3, like, things are lit, you know? Yeah. Or, like, it's comfortable. Whatever happened through the day, I can get through it. Or, like, I don't have to be home at, like, 6 and be in traffic and, you know, so.
I would actually say probably the most stressful day for me most days is Sunday. Because I feel like I'm switching from personal mode to work mode. I feel like that's just an automatic because working early in the morning and stuff, trying to make sure I get enough sleep. If I'm not cleaning my house and I'm not cooking on a Sunday, it's a bad day. Like, period. So, you know, like, it's just a day where I just do all the things to prepare myself for success. So, in a sense, that brings me solace, but it also gives me stress. And also, all the things that happened over the previous week, I want to make it a smooth transition.
Right.
Into the next and have a better week. Even if it was...
Especially with the type of work that, like, you do, and I do too as well. Like, you want some type of improvement always, like, and throughout the week. And we do handle a lot of stuff, like, throughout our days at work. So, that is true. Yeah. Like, that can be good because structure is important, but as well, like, that pressure of, like, automatically, like, ugh.
You know what I think it is? You know? I think structure can be good for anybody, even the people who find it hardest to adhere to, but there's less room for error sometimes with structure, because if you schedule out your day and you account for everything, you know, the smallest, like, thing, if you fall off, it can feel even harder to get back on. But if you just have, if you're aimlessly walking through life, listen, no judgment. That can't be me. If you're aimlessly walking through life at your own pace and you're your own boss, or, you know, you just don't really have time limitations and stuff, then
your own boss, different, specify that, because, you know, like, you could have your own business, be your own boss, and, you know, it's different than, like, in a sense of, like,
you're your own boss and you're only in control of yourself.
In your world, that's what I'm saying, clarify.
So I just did, boom.
Okay.
But I feel...
You want ownership of things in the future, so I'm sure you want to be your boss. I mean, you are, in a sense, right now, so yeah.
So yeah. But I think that any type of person has potential to thrive off of structure, but it's, like, about the longevity of it. How long can you sustain that?
Right.
Because some people, they stack their chips too high, and they are doing great in the short term, and then as soon as they fall off, everything comes crumbling down. They can never get back up.
You know what it is? I feel like there's one point that you made, comfortability, that I'm going to get to. But like you just said, I feel like, one, with long-term stuff and, like, staying on top of stuff, it's like you have to see the bigger picture of, like, where you want to be, right? But you have to do your best to really, 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 truly work daily at the little stuff. You know what I mean? You can't be skipping steps. You know, like, a lot of the times I feel like a lot of people don't stay at, like, the peak, or don't keep going up or whatever, because the work of whatever it is that you're doing, the little things that get you to that, you know,
so what do you think that comes down to, though? You think they don't want it enough, or what?
It could be they don't want it enough, or not be, or like, in the sense of like, you could want something really bad, but you're not doing everything that you're supposed to do to make it happen.
You know what I mean? I think it is?
Like, for example, there's a lot of stuff like we'd be like, we want, or we're going to make happen, whatever. Or even procrastination, you know? Like, we really want this really bad, but, like, you're sleeping till, like, 10 a.m. or till, like, 12 a.m. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you really want that so bad?
I disagree. You feel me? Let me tell you something. Because I think it comes down to people being able to conceptualize the future.
And it may not be on purpose, too, or it may be because, like, also, too, let me also, too, say this, too. And it may not be also because of laziness, and it may not be, I'm saying that in a sense of like, that there's the aspect of like, okay, cool, you're waking up at 12 because, all right, cool, I'm not doing nothing. But also too, it may be because like, okay, cool, you want this big picture things, but like you're working on other things, or like, let's say like you work a night job that allows you to have this much time to sleep to, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you may not have the time to really put in the work at the stuff that you really need to do to make that thing that you want work, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, in that sense as well, too, you know? So it may not just be, I'm not just saying that in a sense of excuses or, like, people being lazy as well, too, you know? Or them not wanting it that bad, in a sense. That's what I mean. Like, you may really want something, but there may be other things that alter your life or people around you that makes it a little harder. Or, like, let's say the single mom, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's say, like, for example, like, there's many aspects of, like, even I have friends who are like, all right, okay, cool, I had this goal, right? And then they get pregnant, and then, like, certain things happen where, like, some people, they still strive to work on that goal, right? But some people are kind of like, all right, cool, I need to be a full mom now. I need to focus on that now. I need to, you know what I'm saying? So that becomes in a back burner. So the steps
of... This is my point that I was trying to get to, that I think it's not so much people not wanting it. I think a lot of it comes down to people not being able to think about the future critically.
But I do say people want it, though. I know,
that's my point. I don't think that's what it comes down to. I think a big issue, I mean, we're talking about procrastination. I think it's because, mm-hmm. not necessarily that people don't want it, but the future is so daunting that they can, you know, maybe short-term future they can think about, but they can't think about how long that goal really goes. What does that goal look like? Because goals adapt. Once you meet your goal, what's your next one? Are you keeping that momentum? Are you keeping going? Are you chasing more successes?
But that's why the steps are staying stagnant. But that's why I begin with, like, you have to know how to get to the big goal, right? And work really hard at those things that get you there. But you have to know how to get there first, right? Or find ways throughout, or even if you don't know, always be looking for those moments or researching or doing, you know what I mean? Or whatever it is, you know? Like, so, also too, you did mention comfortability when you were talking before, right? And for me, I feel like with everything, with me, comfortability is super important. Comfortability is super important in my work life, in my daily life, in my love life, in my, and at home, everything, you know what I mean? Like, I talk about, like, peace and stuff like that all the time. And peace at home, peace everywhere, you know? Like, I was thinking the other day, even, like, for my birthday, like, I was like, yo, it's crazy how, like, I grew up in Haiti and stuff like that. Like when I was little and, like, certain stuff I used to see and compared to, like, growing up and, like, being 28 now and, like, certain situation, like, I wouldn't be in. And that's why, like I always try to be comfortable with myself and understand who I am. Because, like certain stuff is just, like, why? It doesn't bother me because, like, why act this way? Or why bring this energy on or not? You know what I'm saying? Because I want to be comfortable in every space in my life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or, like, I was like, man, like, I grew up from, like literally seeing, like, in a sense, like, seeing bad stuff and death and certain things like that to, like, oh, cool, I was chilling in my own crib, like, you know what I'm saying, comfortable, you know, like, that felt really cool, and, like, you know, and not having certain energy, and and being in a certain space, like, I felt really comfortable. And then and at work as well, like, having being in a situation where I can control things and
that's the point of privilege, though. So that's important to acknowledge. No, that not everybody yeah. has the option of comfortability.
No. Well, I'm just saying, for me, even when I didn't have those things, I worked hard to get it, you know, in a sense. Like, I really worked hard to, like, really focus on, like, the things I needed to do to, for me to, like, get to the point where I could, like, afford to, like, have an apartment and things like, you know what I mean? Like, so.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, it's a virtue, and, but it's necessary. Once you have the opportunity to have comfortability, you don't want to give that up.
Yeah, and also too, even like in friendships and relationships and whatever it is, like the comfortability of like feeling like I can be myself around like everyone around me, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't, like, can't imagine of not being able to be me, you know what I'm saying? Like, being silly, being whatever, like, you know, like being able to, like, be able to handle any type of situation, you know, in a sense of, so like that comfortability in everything that I do. And like you said, really, truly, I feel like it's important. And with communicating to the comfortability to be able to, like, hey, when we're having a conversation, like, hey, let's hear each other out. We may not agree. We, like, you know what I'm saying? But let's respect each other enough to hear each other out. Let's listen to each other. Being comfortable with each other enough to understand that, like, hey, you may say something that, like, I really don't agree with, but it's not like, hey, attacking anything, or even if it's not towards you or towards something else, or, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, with everything, that was a good point that you made, I feel like, because that really, truly matters to me, because I really need to be at ease and comfortable around everyone around me, you know what I'm saying?
I don't think anybody should have to be half themselves or shrink themselves to be around other people. I don't think there's any situation that justifies that.
But to go back to the point that you made, though, because you made a good point, and you were, like, in the sense of, like, I was talking about, like, I work towards, like, being comfortable and being able to afford to have a place and things like that. And you were like, some people don't have the choice of that. And I do have the privilege, and in a sense, I have to acknowledge that. So, what was the, like, clear point that you were trying to make with that? Because I didn't want to bypass that, like,
that it's good to be in a place where you can be in control of certain aspects of your life so that you can be comfortable, to remove yourself from the things that cause you to be stressed, to remove yourself from things that weigh down on you, to remove yourself from people that can be triggering to you, to remove yourself from all the things that feel, in a sense, in a burden in that moment, the things that weigh you down, the things that keep you feeling stuck. Not everybody has the opportunity or the freedom or the privilege to get out of situations like that, and they're forced to remain in those situations, whether that be in a household of people who don't appreciate them, or in a workplace that doesn't value them and, you know, keeps them down, or in a relationship in which they feel they can't stand up for themselves. Those people's comfortability is compromised, and it doesn't mean that they're less of a person. It just means that they're in a situation that they feel or actually can't get out of it on their own. So that's just a privilege I wanted to acknowledge.
Bing, pow, pow.
Brah! But, yeah, so the last thing that I wanted to bring up was how our interests change. So I guess this is kind of, a sense related to everything that we've discussed.
Go ahead. I was going to start what you just said, but
I guess, what are some things that we're attracted to, or that we're drawn to, or that we're inclined to do when we're feeling good versus when we're feeling not good? How does that change? This could be anything. What type of art do you like?
First of all, with anything, my interest is very, like, for example, when I'm a certain way, I like to shop, or, like, you know that, like, or when I'm feeling down or a certain way, or when I feel like I need to express myself, but there's nobody to talk to. I can't really express myself. I use that as a thing, you know what I'm saying? And when I was younger, it was like kind of like food, but like I was always like playing sports, so like that was never like, you know, so but then it became that, or like, or like, I'm stuck real quick. I don't know why, I just had a brain freeze. Pick me back up real quick.
But you're talking about different coping skills that you have. Yeah,
like
and how those things become
like,
interesting.
Yeah, make you like feel good. Like even like when I'm to my like, for example, sometimes like during certain situations where like I'm always like the person no matter what, like I could be outside like hanging out, or if I'm inside all day, that doesn't matter to me, you know? But there's certain moments where I'll want to just literally be under the covers and watch movies all day and just like chill and like play video games, or like, you know what I'm saying? Like there's certain moments I'll have that, or certain moments where like I'll feel like I'm distracted in a sense that I'm not focused on the things I need to do, because like I wanna like whatever's going on with me, I want to, like, be outside doing stuff. I want to be hanging out. I want to be, like, doing this. Or, like, I want to, like, go to this car show or go hiking or do this, do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, in the sense of, like, kind of distracting me from, like, whatever's going on. Whatever's going on that's bad, you know? Like, and in a sense, like, those things are really cool and I'm enjoying it. But I do see myself, like doing those type of stuff and like not focusing on stuff, or like spending money and not saving or things like that, because like I want to just like not be stuck for a little bit, or not be, you know what I mean? Like,
I think for me, my interests kind of are a bit different in a sense, because I mean, well, I'm just a different person, so my interests are different. But also when I am struggling, I'm more stressed about the future. And there's something to be said about the girlies with functional anxiety and how it rewards you, which is how you get stuck in that cycle. But for example, if I'm really stressed, I'm going to save, because I'm going to be panicking about if I have enough to cover what I need. If I'm really stressed, I'm going to be worried about my health. So I'm going to eat healthier than when I'm feeling good. I'm going to be like, oh, you know, like I'm just chilling. I could do what I want, like I'll correct it later. But it's different. It's a different mindset.
Yeah, when things are going great, I feel like I save more. I make more money. Like I feel like I'm doing everything. I'm investing the right way. I'm doing this. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's weird for me.
But it's how we perceive control.
And also too, like for example, too, like I said, like I'm more like, I'm not as active. Like I'm working, and then like, okay, cool, I'm chilling home, hanging out with my friends around like the town or whatever. But like for example, like you literally know that a month ago I took a trip because I was stressed. You know what I'm saying? Like I was like, I need to get away, and I need to, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so
it seemed like you like instant gratification when you're not doing well, and I like that long game.
You know what?
I want to see the fruits of my labor, bro.
You right. Like, all right, cool. Let me go buy this shoe.
Like, because I'm like, that's going to stress me out, dropping that money on something that I didn't need. I mean, we don't really need anything. We just don't
like it. Yeah. Or even like wanting to, like in personal life stuff, like when I'm in, like, no matter what, I try to not let, like, anything that I'm going through affect my personal relationship, in the sense of, like, because that's the person I want to talk to the most. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I'm more giddy and like wanting to do, like, let's be more active, let's do more things together when like things are going well as well too. So not just like hey, let's take a trip because I'm stressed. Like when things are really well too, in that aspect too, like I want to do that, like with my lady, more so than like, hey. When things are like kind of like I'm more stressed, I'm more like, all right, cool, I want to come over and just talk and just like chill and then do whatever and then hang out, whatever, and then, you know what I'm saying? But like not more so like, all right, cool, let's go do this, go do that, go do, you know what I'm saying? Let's be more active, you know? So in that aspect, I feel like it's the opposite in my personal life compared to You know, and so, like, I feel like with me, things are never, like, as it's supposed to be, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, it's always some weird
way. He said, baby girl, I'm messed up.
Like, it's always some weird way, because, like you said, like, when I'm more stressed, I spend more money, or, like, when, in relationships like that, when, like, in the past, like, I've been more distracted when I'm more stressed, in a sense, also, too, in the past, like, the person that I was supposed to be talking to, when I'm stressed or when I'm whatever, I'm looking for that, like, somewhere else. Or, like, I'm looking for that gratification somewhere else. Or, like, you know what I mean? But, like, now I've tried to, like, make that, like, the right way in a sense. You know what I mean? Like, and like, all right, cool. The person I'm supposed to talk to is, like, all right, when I'm stressed, I want to talk to you. You know? But before it was, like, all right. So, my interests have also, too, I feel like, with maturity, and a lot of stuff too, like my interests have switched off too. Like when I was younger, like it was more so like, all right, cool, let's go turn up, let's go like whatever when I'm stressed. Now I don't even like sometimes like I don't wanna do none of that. I'd rather be chilling at my house, and I do have a home that I pay for and that I work so hard for. Why do I need to be outside all the time? You know what I'm saying? Like, so that in that aspect too, I feel like maturity plays a part in our interest too throughout our life and how we handle things based on what we're going through.
Yeah. You know? I think some of it probably is maturity, but I also think that it also comes down to just, again, a difference of perspective. Like, for me, when it comes to my personal life and my relationship, whether it's really, really good or really, really bad, that's when I want them there. The rest of the time when things are just regular, it's like, oh, like, that would be cool if you were there, but it's kind of like, I'm good, like, you know what I'm saying? But all the highlights, I want that person to be there. I want them to see me, like, shining. But when I'm struggling, it's like, that's that one person that probably understands the best. And again, yeah. I don't have to explain as much what's going on, and they can understand, and they probably judge me the least because there's that level of intimacy that's not judgmental, it's not shameful, it's not... it's acceptance, it's tolerance.
Yeah, but for me, but again, like, for me, I had to learn that. Now I'm more acceptive of that and being more vulnerable and being more like, no matter, like, the highs and highs, I want you there. The lows and lows, I also want you there. See, I'm able to communicate better and what?
I disagree again, because I'm not disagreeing with your perspective. It's just, for me, that's never my experience, because as an unintentional serial monogamist, I feel like if you're not there for all the times that really matter, the really impactful times, the times that have the power to dictate or devastate, if you're not there, I feel like, why are you here at all?
That's what I'm saying. Need to... I want that now. But before but also too, I feel like, a lot of stuff I had to learn how to deal with it to be able to communicate the right way again. You know what I mean?
But again, I feel like there's certain times that people should just show up for you. And it's not necessarily that you... I don't know if it's an expectation.
I feel like some people don't know. You know what, does? I feel like some people have never been thought, like... Even though it's not expected, but it's expected in a way. You know what I mean? Like, there's some stuff that, like, based on what, like, how you were raised or what you've seen or what someone have said to you, you know that, like, all right, cool. If my friend got into a car accident and was in a hospital, I probably should go see them. You know what I'm saying? Like, or maybe that's too drastic, or maybe something, like, lesser, whatever, because, like, that's, like, all right, anybody should be able to, like, bruh, you bugging if you don't. But maybe something lesser than that. I don't know what to think like that to make it a good example. But
I think,
like,
that's a decent example, because yeah, in a sense it, like, may seem like an inconvenience, yeah, in a sense, but you should okay, be there for that.
Maybe, yeah, maybe some people are like, in their mind they're like, for example, me, I'm the type of person, I hear that, I'm dropping everything. Some people may be like, all right, cool, I'm going to go see them in a few days. They're like, all right, you know, I'm going to get to it, you know? So I feel like even that is so small, but... Like, I've seen that myself, because everyone around me, I've always been, like, the protector and the, like, whatever. And it's, like, when something is going on, like, we want to be able to, like, take care of it. We want to be there. We want to be there for people. You know what I mean? So, I've always had that example. So, I feel like that plays a part in that too. And even like with me learning how to communicate to people or how to deal with women and communicate to women, like I always felt like I was a really good talker. Like I could really talk really well and I could be smooth, but like, was I really listening to really like respond, you know what I mean? Or to really like listen and to act accordingly, you know? So that type of communication I had to learn it, and I had to go through some stuff for, you know, yo bro, what are you doing? Or for people to check me, or for, you know, for me to, some people don't get that, but some people don't, like, haven't been through that or haven't gotten that, or maybe like they don't give a F enough, or based on what they've gone through, they haven't seen that, or whatever the case may be, you know? So that communication aspect of,
if I could just be candid though, I think the patience
aspect of it too, like,
I don't think it's necessarily a learned thing. I think some people just have it, some people just don't. Mm. Some people have the correct inconsistent behavior. And that's a shame. I don't know. At least you're correcting it, I guess. But some people are just, that's just how they operate.
Feel like everything can be learned and everything can be unlearned?
It's not what I said. I said that some people are just that way. Mm-hmm. They naturally exude that. They naturally do what they have to do to be consistent and to show up for people. Other people don't have that in them. Understood. And they can learn it. True. That's, you know, it's great that you can do things to improve your relationships and improve yourself, but some people just have it. And I mean, you know, there's this debate over, can you teach talent or can you teach hard work? I mean, there's good things about both.
That is true.
It's hard to teach someone the importance of consistency. For myself, like, I consider myself a fairly consistent person. The person I'm talking to, I wouldn't say is very consistent. That doesn't mean I care for them less. It just makes things frustrating for me because my expectation is up here and their expectation is not. So it's just like, I have to deal with that.
Maybe the expectation, that's not, you know, maybe it's the way of like, I don't know, but maybe it's not just, maybe people just like, deal with things differently, but the expectations may be the same, but like, it's just the way they go about things, you know.
I guess I mean different,
you know, in a sense, like, for example, like I said, like you would drive everything right away for the people you care about, and so would I. Like, some people may be like, all right, cool, let me, like, I'm in the middle of something right now, let me finish this first. So like, we would literally drop everything, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, it's not because, like, the expectation of, like, may not be the same. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I disagree, though. I think you have to manage your expectations. I think that's a big part of adulthood. Knowing that you don't want the people that you care about to disappoint you, but sometimes they just will. Sometimes they just will, and maybe that's a cynical way of looking at it. But the truth of it is that you will handle things different than the people you care about. Not everybody's going to be just like you. And you can expect one thing. And in your mind, that's greatness, and that's the pillar of the example that they should set, and that's how they should act in a particular situation. If they don't live up to that, then you feel kind of defeated. Like, you, and for me anyways, I don't want to speak for anybody else, but I feel kind of like, so I didn't exude enough love to deserve somebody to come through for me like this. That's how I feel. So, and that's a flaw.
So how do you work on, like, working through their flaws and working through, like, not caring about them any less?
Acceptance.
If you're like, how did I work to, like, deserve this less version of what I wanted? You know what I'm saying?
It's not necessarily just what I want, though. The difference is that I expect it, in a sense. And just because I expect that from somebody doesn't mean that's what they're going to give me. For example, stop. Mm-hmm. You go to a party. Everybody brings food. You expect somebody to pull up with cupcakes. They bring banana bread. Their gifts aren't any less valuable, but it's not what you wanted.
You're right.
And you can be honest, that's not what you wanted, but that's what you got. So are you accepting it in open arms, or are you telling them to leave that in the car? What are you doing? Thanks. And it's just, it's different. And that's managing your expectations. And if you love somebody for who they actually are and not for who you want them to be, you will get over that.
Yeah.
But also to
that person, like in essence, like, with everyone, we also too have to, whomever, have to, like, we have to work hard enough to not always meet that expectation. I mean, we have to always work hard to try to meet that expectation, even though we may fall less than it, but, like, it can't just be like, bruh,
I think
you are shitty every day. You know what I'm saying? Like, it can be like in that sense, you know, because I, honestly, like you said, like, we expect people to disappoint us. That is the absolute fact. Or maybe not everyone expects that. Or maybe not everyone is honest with themselves that, you know what I mean, that would happen. Or like someone that you care about will disappoint you. You know what I'm saying? Like, no matter what type of disappointment it is, like, everyone disappoints at a certain level, I feel like. You know what I mean? Whether it's like you may be late for 10 minutes. If you say you were gonna be here at eight. In a sense, like, I was expecting you to be at it, bro. Come on. You know? Like, yeah. You could be like that. And even though 10 minutes, like, I'm making a point, but you get what I'm saying. Like, so, in a sense, everyone, like, should be honest with themselves that, like, no matter what, it is okay for you to be disappointed. But at what certain level that it keeps happening that it becomes not okay.
Right. But that's different for everybody. I've said this before on the podcast in a different context, but I think the shoe still fits, so I'm going to say it. I think, and not to make this a man-woman issue, because... Oh, no, but I think women are socialized to accept less. And they're ingrained to be more tolerant.
But you don't deal with no BS, though. You don't expect no less. Like, you don't. Like, you don't deal with no BS.
So, you, like, think so, right?
I mean, like, okay, like, maybe, like, excuse me, maybe the little things, and to a certain degree, but, like, your values and things that, like, you know what I'm saying, you're not gonna expect nobody to walk on that.
Little things add up.
You feel me? Like,
little things add up. They do.
But that's what I'm saying, like, to what certain degree does it become, like, damn, bro, all right, shoot. It's about like a million now. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you're saying it adds up. I think part of it is intent.
It adds up, so.
And the other part of it is willing to understand. And then the remaining part is doing better. So you can do 1 out of 3, 2 out of 3, or 3 out of 3. You can intend to do better, but there's no progress and there's not really an understanding as to why that's important. You can have understanding but not be willing to do the work. To do better, or you could have all three and you can, you know,
this is
improve.
Really good, because I feel like a lot of people are not processing things like that. Or you know what it is, we're not being as honest as we think we are being with ourselves.
Yeah,
that's honest truth.
Yeah,
because a lot of stuff, if you really process it like you just said, or women, men, whatever, we would literally be able to communicate it a little better. Because, like, go ahead, what were you about to say?
So, well, first of all, I think that consistency comes down to, or just being, your expectations come down to 75% of it is the person that you want, that you're pursuing, that you care for, that you love, that you whatever, insert verb here. 25% of that is having an expectation based on how you like to be loved. And that's okay, I believe. That's okay for you to pick a person based on who they are and have genuine love and care and adoration for them. But at the same time, they could love you so far left from how you like to be loved, or you want to be loved, or you need to be loved. And if they're not willing to receive that and they don't necessarily feel the same way about you, that's where you're going to run into issues. My next thing that I was going to say is that I think a lot of people, young people in general, are not willing to confront their ideas about commitment and to really sit down and think about the perks of stable long-term relationships. Why? Let's get into some things. Let's talk about it. Because I think a lot of people are scared of the commitment that necessarily means forever. Sometimes it doesn't. Long-term is long-term. It doesn't mean forever. That's why those words aren't synonymous. Second is, you may feel like you're missing out, but I feel like your life is enriched if you have somebody by your side who supports you, loves you, and is consistent. That shouldn't take away from your experience. It should add. You're not half a person or an incomplete person because you have someone by your side. That idea of someone, they complete me. Excuse me. Why do they complete you? Why aren't you a whole person on your own? Why can't you think, talk, speak for
yourself? I feel like you have to go through certain things and go through certain stuff to feel like you get there, you know? Because you could have consistency for 6 months, consistency for a year, and it changed, consistency for, you know what I mean? In your mind, or whatever you want, it may be changing every time or whatever until you get to the point where you feel like, all right, cool.
Well, if there's not intimacy, there's not passion, there's not, you know, genuine consideration of the other person, then consistency means what? It doesn't mean anything. It's not really that important now, is it? But I think if you have all those things, like, in your arsenal, then it's a problem. But like I said, I don't think people are willing to come to terms with the idea that long-term relationships can be good. I don't think they're for everybody, and I don't think that you should chase it. I think it should fall into your lap. That's where the best things come.
You know what? That's the issue. I feel like most people are chasing relationships. Most people, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, or, like, the pressure of, like, shoot, I want a boyfriend. Or, like, you start talking to someone, or, like, that's the first thing they're thinking about. Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, let's, you know, and certain times, too, like, at least for me, I feel like, per se, me, I like to hang out with women, right? Like, and not presently, but, like, before, like, it was more so, like, all right, cool. Sometimes it would be like, all right, cool, let's get to know each other. Or, like, we're hanging out, we're doing things or whatever. We're getting to know each other. But, like, it doesn't have to be, like, there's no pressure of whatever, too. You know what I mean? And respectfully, like, I'm not selling a dream in a sense. Like, I'm telling you exactly what's going on. This is how I feel. I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready for that. But, like, you know what I'm saying? You can accept it for however you want. You know what I mean?
Or you don't accept it. I'm not taking that for face value, though. Like, if someone told me that they're not ready for XYZ, and that's what I was honest and candid with them about what I expected.
Before, though. I'm saying, like, literally, like, all right, cool, like, this is what we're doing, whatever. Not like, hey, we start talking, we're going to dinner, whatever, we're holding hands, we're giving each other gifts, we're doing things, whatever. And then when she's like, all right, cool, what are we doing? And then I'm like, nah, I'm not ready for this. Not like that. I'm telling you, like, from top, like, from the beginning, this is what it is.
You know what, though? I think that's how people settle.
Before, yeah, but also, too, I've noticed, too, like, in a sense, I had commitment issues as well.
But are you addressing those? Or are you just saying I have commitment issues and keeping that at face value?
Right now, I am addressing those.
How?
One, by communicating.
Is that enough, though? To correct it?
No, but I'm also, too, allowing things to happen in my life that I don't feel like I've allowed to happen before, like, emotionally. So, which is helping with that. And me also to being present, and also to not allowing those distractions or other distractions or other things
with all due respect, knowing you, you don't let things slide. So if you see somebody not addressing something or not doing something to the rate that you think that they could be doing it, or with the success rate that you think that they can be doing it, you will address that and put that right in their face. Right. And ask them exactly on the spot why it's not happening.
You're pretty much calling me a hypocrite, in a sense.
No. I'm just saying, it's interesting.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because it's one thing to accept that label that other people put on us, or that we put on ourselves, but it's like, okay, so are we just finding comfort in, you know, our flaws by just hearing ourselves say it and getting comfortable with that? Because we can get comfortable in accepting our flaws, but not necessarily push for better and strive for better.
But recently, like, but also to, like from the conversations we had, and you know what I mean? Like, you know that, like, I try to, like, be as vulnerable with everything, like, to everyone as much as I can. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I want to be able to not have anything hindering my emotions. You know
but
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And because, like, and also to, like, again, like, and I don't care what, like, and not to say, like, not, I don't care, but, like, you know, the mentality or the society, the thing of, like, you need to be a man. I'm a man. And, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I grew up around tough guys, and also too, I grew up around tough guys that I've watched cry or, like, treat a lady like the queen, like no one touch her, no, like she doesn't have to lift a finger, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen, like, like, that aspect too, you could still be, like, a man and still be able to express your emotions and still be able to, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, in that aspect of it too, like, being vulnerable with everything and everyone, like, I feel like has really, truly helped everything because I'm able to process things better. And also too, I'm able to openly have certain conversations of, like, things that have hurt me or that has affected, like, rather my commitment issues or, me feeling like, yo, damn, like, why did this happen? Or, like, oh, cool, this happened because of this. Or, I haven't done this because of this. Or, like, oh, cool, this pattern's happened and this happened. And then I was like, you know what? I'm never letting this happen again. Or, I'm going to block this out. Or, I'm going to try to do this. Or, like, I'm going to be hesitant on how I go about this because of, you know what I mean? But all these conversations are happening because I'm able to be more vulnerable in the emotional aspect. That's why I'm saying, like
emotionally, that's a sign of growth.
Yeah, but emotionally, beyond, like, I'm more open and more willing to be more expressive, you know what I mean? Because no matter what, it doesn't affect anything
in but my beyond life, you know what I'm saying? So, beyond just you though, I think that there's this tendency for people, if they can externalize something that they perceive to be wrong with them or something that people have told them is wrong with them, mm-hmm. like for myself, I'm too critical. Mm. Okay, I'm too picky. If I say that when it comes to, like, my dating life, and I'm too picky. Like, I know I'm too picky, and I kind of, like, wallow in that, and I don't overcome it. In my mind, I've overcome it because I can say it, mm-hmm. and I can be comforted by the fact that that's the truth. And I don't have to do anything beyond just say it to people. Right. Because in my mind, if I accept it and I can show other people that I've come to terms with the fact that this is a flaw of mine, right. I don't need to actually do anything to overcome it because yeah. I've accepted that that's the truth.
Yeah.
And I accept that people think yeah. that about me, and that's fine. But what am I doing to do better, though? Yeah. Besides just saying, oh, this is something that I deal with, that I am not perfect. Yeah. You know, and that's a good first step, but that's not the only step. There's the whole yeah. staircase.
Well, even, like conversations of, like, even with my, like, especially with, like, I've always had those friends too, like, you know, my friends, you know, cuz, you know, like
who was on the podcast, shout out to you.
Like, I've always been able to, like, again, it goes back to, like I said before, like, being able to be me no matter what around everyone, you know what I'm saying? Like, and, like, being able to say, like, yo, bro, damn, I feel stressed today. Just being able to say that, or, like, not being able to hide out, like, damn, I had a bad day, bro, like, you know, like, where it was a little, like, yo, it'd be fun. But, like, in the sense of, like, really expressing myself, or, like, yo, like, damn, like, I feel like maybe, like, I don't know what, like, not that I've been having those moments, but let's say if I was having a moment of, like, damn, like, okay, cool, like, today I had a bad day, bro, like, I don't feel like, I don't know what I should do with this job, or, like, mentally I've been, like, having, like, I feel like I've been stuck, or, like, I've feeling I need to move forward or whatever. And, like, in the past I've had those moments, and because I've been vulnerable and I've been able to express myself like that, you know what I mean, it's been good. It's been a little therapeutic, and being able to, like, yo, bro, like, alright, cool, this is alright, alright, cool, so what have you been doing to, like, get out of that? Like, okay, cool, if you feel stuck, like, what are the steps that you want to take to, like, get a better job, or get it, you know what I'm saying? So even that brings also to certain comforts, because it bring certain conversations or certain advice that I maybe not have gotten if I didn't express that, you know, yeah. or if I wasn't as vulnerable. So that aspect plays a part too, like, you know, so
yeah. I mean, again, that shows growth though, that you can feel more comforted in the people around you, that you can make those statements that you've been struggling, or you felt stressed, or you're not where you want to be in life or in that moment. And then as a result, maybe you're more collected and better for it by just having that moment to just, like, let your pride fall a mm-hmm. little bit and just talk about that. But yeah. I guess my closing question to you is, are you feeling more confident and empowered and excited about your future? Or do you feel like it's still something that you're working to not feel as daunting?
I am feeling about. Super confident. Everything for the past year and stuff, I've been truly working on making the effort to work on now, and also to now translating into the future. and working everything that I need to do now. Like I was telling you, like the little things, seeing the bigger picture and working on the little things to make it happen. So in a sense, like, yeah, like in a couple years, I want to own a few things, or like I want to, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm working towards those stuff, or like the career path, and be at a certain level in it, and like certain, you know, like everything, or even like I wanted to do a pop-up shop for art gallery for my pictures, or like, you know, like working towards that eventually, and like doing little things, you know, that like, so I feel really confident, because also too, like throughout this year too, a lot of things have happened, and a lot of like, in a sense, negative things that happened this year. Not even regarding COVID. No, I don't want anybody to think that or whatever. But that was terrible too. But a lot of terrible things that personally that did happen. But I noticed that, like, again, like I said, like, if I have the right attitude and if I bust my butt, like, I know, like, anything can happen. Because I've come out of it, like, 10 times stronger. And, like, we out here, like, flexing. You feel me? So
let's have, like, you know what? As the closer, matter of fact, let's have a little accolade hour. What are some of the things that you've accomplished in the last calendar year-ish that you're the most proud of? Go ahead.
I got a new car. Like, ooh. I really wanted a new car. I got a new promotion. I was able to be more at peace, and being able to communicate really well, to improve my communication with everything and everyone around me. Also, too, I've had the help of like some amazing people in my life, and also too, this year you've been like a really good part of it too. You know what I'm saying? So. You know what I'm saying? Like, communicating and just, like, advice and certain things. And so, like, that really is super cool. And like I said, like, I appreciate everyone around me because I'm able to, like, be expressive. And, like, in certain stuff, if I wasn't as expressive, I wouldn't get, like, certain advice or certain... I wouldn't be able to hear certain things that are encouraging or makes me want to, like, go harder or makes me... You know what I'm saying? So, like, in that aspect, I was, in the sense of, like, I've been able to really, truly be at peace at home. Not, like, in the sense of, like, not worrying about anything. And also, too, like, financially, like, working hard and not worrying about anything at home because of, like and like paying bills and stuff like that and having a new car and things like that. So that's been a really great thing of like being on top of my stuff this year, because like I've struggled with that in past years. So like that, like in the sense of accolade, that may not be an accolade, but like being on top of my stuff like has been,
I think, like, that's the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, like being on top of my stuff and be at peace with that and like working hard and working and staying focused, like, that's why I like the future. Like, I feel like I can go hard for it, you know what I'm saying? So,
we so proud of him. Ooh, look at this lovely Libra man. But anyways, it's almost Scorpio season, so you know this got to come to a close. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening.
She said almost. Oh, my God. August. Oh, wait, you said Scorpio.
Scorpio.
Oh, wait, you're not a Scorpio, though.
No, but come on.
Because I was thinking about you. I'm like, wait, alright, Scorpio season.
This is another example how men can't keep up with you girlies. They just can't.
First of all, I caught up right back, and then, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Drake, though. Scorpio.
Alright, enough of that. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being patient. Thank you for being patient and letting me get my messy ass together. But we back and hopefully consistent, because again, consistency is a virtue. Thank you so much to our special guest.
Thank you for listening. I appreciate you.
Thank you to everybody who supports this little brainchild of mine, and I hope to be back soon.
Have a great night. Be safe, guys.